Measure Up podcast, episode 16, Reach for the Sky, Target Setting. G'day and welcome back. I'm Stacey Barr, the performance measure specialist of StaceyBarr.com and your host for the Measure Up podcast. My passion's making it easy and fun for you to meaningfully measure the performance of your organizational business so it can be truly excellent at what it exists to do. In this episode of the Measure Up podcast about Reach for the Sky target setting, our feature article is Setting Sensible Targets for Your KPIs. Will help Measure Up subscriber Zen answer his question, does every performance measure need a target? And we'll wrap up with a quick tip for how to best display a target on your KPI graph. Now, targets are everywhere in life, but for some reason when it comes to business, we just can't seem to get it right. Maybe it's got something to do with how specific we can be. I mean, in everyday life, it's easy to be quite specific about our targets. For example, with my running training, it's very, very easy for me to set a target for my average running speed, for example, or maybe what my 10K time might be. But in business, probably not quite so easy to be that specific. Maybe it's got to do with the fear of going outside of our comfort zone. My coach says that one of the things she finds people are quite scared about when she's training them is pushing themselves too hard. And, you know, we're given all these health warnings in the media about, you know, being very, very careful when we exercise and exercising gently. But if you really want to achieve a target, if you really want to get fitter, if you want to get faster, which I do with my running, you have to go outside your comfort zone. And often that can mean reaching that point where you're just about to throw up. And I have reached that point several times, either at the end of a race or at the end of a training session with my coach. In business, we shouldn't need to go to that point of throwing up, I don't think, but we do have to go outside of our comfort zone if we're going to achieve more than we've ever achieved in the past. Maybe setting targets in business is hard because of this feeling of pressure to perform. And I know I've felt that before in the context of running anyway. This fear of doing a training session that my coach has set for me where I have to be able to hold a 15 kilometer an hour pace for a certain amount of time and then have a 13 kilometer per hour pace as my recovery and then back up to 15 kilometers an hour. And doing that over, what was the length? I think it was 2K, like 2 kilometers doing alternating 15 to 13 and having a rest in between each 2K set, but repeating it 3 times. So when I get given a workout like that, I kind of think, oh gosh, I'm scared. I don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. But then I realized, and once when I did this set, my coach did it with me. And at the end of it, I said, that's really interesting. That workout made me feel like 13 kilometers an hour was easy. And she said, that's exactly what that workout's supposed to do. So really, it wasn't about holding the 15 kilometers an hour and running really, really fast for as long as I could. It was about the contrast. It was about pushing myself outside my comfort zone so that something inside my comfort zone felt a lot easier. And the funny thing is, since I've done a few of those workouts now and since I've done them, I've found that my easy runs are actually faster than they ever have been, which is great. It's a sign of fitness. It's a sign that I'm getting better. It's a sign that I'm going to be more likely achieving my targets for races. Now, even though target setting can be a little bit easier in our personal life, we still do have lots of worries about it in business. And so what I'm going to do is share some ideas with you that might make the situation just a little bit better in this episode's feature article, Setting Sensible Targets for Your KPIs. You can get the written copy of the podcast's feature article in this episode's corresponding issue of the Measure Up email newsletter. The newsletter gives you additional resources to meaningfully measure what matters, and you can subscribe for free at measureupblog.com. Target setting is rife with worries like being achievable versus stretch, motivating people to pursue them, figuring out how to measure them, the consequences of missing them, and how hard it will be to reach them. I'd like to share some ideas with you about how to lessen the burden when you come face to face with worries like these. Idea number one, use control charts to indisputably show actual performance compared to target. You haven't hit the target just because this month's performance measure value has hit the target. You don't have to wait until the end of the year to see if your performance measure has hit the target. Good targets are about ongoing capability, not one-hit wonders. Use a control chart and compare the mean line, which represents the current level of performance, with the target. Idea two, make sure your measure can be monitored at least 6 times within the target time frame. Design your measure so you can calculate it as regularly as is feasible, and then set a target time frame that accommodates frequent enough feedback to increase your chances of staying on track. For example, monitor your measure weekly or monthly for a 1 to 2 year target time frame. Yes, sometimes you just can't get data this frequently, but that doesn't change the fact that a single point of data says nothing. Is it worth setting a target that you cannot honestly know is achieved? Idea three, don't strike a balance between achievable and stretch. Do both. What I've learned is that it takes practice and confidence building to achieve a target or goal. Why not set at least 2 or 3 targets for any single performance measure? The first one is shorter term and not very challenging for the purpose of building target accomplishing momentum. The interim target is an opportunity to build more capability and confidence to stretch. The last one is the stretchy target, which you might have no idea of how to reach at this point in time, but be in a better position to know after you've achieved the interim target. Idea four, use vivid and specific language to describe the world after the target is accomplished. Numbers alone are hardly enough to motivate anyone, so handing a team a performance measure plus target value plus time frame won't likely be enough motivation. Have you ever tried telling the story about what the world, or at least your part of it, is like after the target is met? Color, sound, movement, emotion, expression, behavior, shape, rhythm, and all those other sensory experiences emblazon the meaning of the target into the minds and hearts of those setting out to achieve it. Motivation from within is the best kind. Idea five, keep one eye on the target and one eye on the bigger picture. Even if you had enough foresight to explore the unintended consequences of achieving your target before you locked it into your plan, the world will still change later on. I once heard a story about a railway organisation that prioritised on-time running over all other performance outcomes. One day, due to the train running late, the driver omitted an important safety check to save time. The train derailed because of a braking problem that the safety check would have picked up. Every now and then ask yourself, is this target still a good idea? Idea six, give yourself permission to learn by not achieving targets. If you achieve every target you ever set, then you aren't challenging yourself enough. You're staying inside your comfort zone, inside of what you know works, what you know you can accomplish. That's not what improvement is about. There is no learning without failing, no improvement without learning. If you want to jump over a creek without getting both feet wet, then don't aim for the far bank of the creek. Aim for a meter or so beyond it. That way, maybe only 1 foot will get wet. Somehow our strides are longer when our eyes focus further ahead. Idea seven, do some preliminary scoping of how to before locking in the target. If you and your team do not yet possess the target setting and achieving prowess of an Olympic athlete, then avoid setting any kind of target without first exploring a range of ideas of how you might go about achieving it. A very innovative manager I know used simulation software to model his business processes. He made changes in the model to simulate changes like more equipment, different procedures, changing policies. So before he spent a single dollar, he got a good idea about which strategies would best hit the targets. He saved his company many millions of dollars of investment in new trains that weren't needed. And if you want to take action on these ideas, here's a suggestion. Write down the steps of how you currently set targets. Draw little red stars next to the steps that have problems. Then use the ideas above to write a new target setting process that could be a vast improvement for you. Now, if you've got lots of KPIs or performance measures, you might be freaking out a bit about how many targets you have to set and pursue. That's the topic of this episode's question from Measure Up subscriber Zen. Zen asks, what type of indicators are really considered KPIs, as there is a tendency for the term to be used loosely? From my personal understanding, a KPI is an indicator established to measure the organization's success in achieving its strategic objectives. However, there are some indicators which we track and monitor to allow us to better understand trends in order to perhaps make interventions, for example, to avoid a certain undesired outcome. Hence, they may not necessarily be targets for these indicators. Would we still consider these as a KPI, even though they may not be a target per se? Thanks. Zen, I agree with you that a KPI is certainly an indicator of an organization's success in achieving its strategic objectives. Now, KPI is a term that doesn't have a pure, single, universally accepted meaning, but if we use it just to label one type of performance measure, and it's the type of performance measure that's really, really important. It's measuring a result that you really want to get better at, which is what your strategy is all about in the first place. Those are the KPIs that need to be the focus of your attention, and those are the KPIs that you will set targets for. You want improvement in the result that they measure. Therefore, the measure itself, you know, the KPI has got to show some kind of improvement over time, and that's what the target does. The other measures, though, the measures that you don't have, you know, in your strategic plan, the measures that you're not really searching for any kind of performance improvement in, are kind of measures that I'd say are either contextual information that help you understand the trends that you might be seeing in your KPIs, the important measures, or they're business as usual measures that you might be wanting to measure just in case they go bad. So you'd look at them out of the corner of your eye, so to speak, in case they do show some kind of negative trend, but you're not aiming to get them to improve. You're happy for them just to stay the way they currently are. When they suddenly go bad, though, that might become a high priority. So for example, in my business, one of those business as usual measures is the sign-up rate to my email newsletter, Measure Up. I want to see people signing up to that newsletter, that's for sure, because, you know, the people that sign up now could potentially become my clients in the future. And indeed, all of the clients that I have now are people that have, you know, subscribed a year or more ago to the newsletter. Now, that's not a strategic priority for me right now to grow the number or to grow the rate at which my subscribers sign up. Yeah, I definitely want to grow the number of subscribers, but I don't want to have, let's say I'm getting, just say 25 subscribers a week. I'm not wanting to double that all of a sudden. I'd be happy to keep the 25. I don't think it is 25 at the moment. I think it's kind of averaging around 60 or 70. Just in case you're curious, it's really neither here nor there, is it? But I don't have a target for that. I don't have a weekly target for how many subscribers I want. The idea is that we don't have time to improve everything, and that is why we have a strategy, and really it's why that term, key performance indicator, was invented in the very first place, or at least that's my understanding. It is a type of performance measure that is currently of high priority, and it relates directly to strategy, and you definitely want to have targets for those KPIs. Now, targets has definitely been the theme of this issue, and the quick tip is no exception. The quick tip today is how to best display a target on your KPI graph. Now, most people will put a target on their KPI graph as a solid line. So if you can imagine, let's say it's a time series graph and the performance measure values are sort of plotted on the graph and there's a line joining the points, but basically it's that typical jagged up and down kind of line that most performance measures make when they're plotted on a graph. The target line is usually a straight line that goes right across, horizontally right across the graph. So it might be that the performance measure values are kind of bubbling up and down, ranging between, just say it's a measure of the percentage of percentage of customers that are satisfied. I mean, I always seem to resort to that. It's a nice, easy one. And maybe it's averaging between 50 and 60%. You might have a target that sits at 70%. Now, there's a problem with using a line as a target, and it's such a big problem in my book that I never, ever put targets on graphs as lines. I always put targets on graphs in a different way, which I'll come to. But when you put it on as a line, it ignores the fact that targets are about improvement, and that improvement is a kind of change, and change takes time. It seems to have you thinking that every month when a new performance value is plotted on that graph, you've got to compare it with the target line. How many times have we hit target? How many times have we not hit target? It almost assumes that you're expecting instant capability improvement to be able to operate normally at the targeted level. And you can't. You've got to put in a performance improvement. You've got to change the way things are done so that performance can get better. Reacting every month like that leads to what's called tampering, which means you kind of go and you play with this and you jigger with that and you reorient the way this happens. You fiddle with stuff and you try to make it so that next month you hit the target. But you're constantly doing that. You're constantly tampering, and tampering usually makes things better. You want to fix the root cause. You want to fix one thing once, and once you've fixed it, performance is always better from that point forward. You don't have to keep fixing it every month. You don't have to keep chasing solutions every month. So the way I put targets on graphs to try and avoid that kind of behavior is I use a single point. And usually it's a point that, well, for me, it's a round dot, and it's a different color to my performance measure line so that it stands out. And that dot sits above the date by which I want that target to be achieved. So let's say I've got a target for the number of in-house performance measure blueprint workshops that I run per month, or per quarter. Now, I'm not measuring this at the moment because it's not strategically important. It's really just an example. So just say at the moment I'm running two in-house performance measure blueprint workshops, two per month, so let's say that's about eight per quarter. And what I'd really love to have is 15 per quarter, because I want to have more of those workshops being run by my pump consultants. So what I'll have is a line graph that will show, let's say over the last 4 or 5 years, each quarter, how many in-house blueprint workshops I ran. And that line will be bubbling up and down. You know, some quarters it might be 4 and others it might be 10 and others it might be 6 or 7 or something like that. But when you look at that graph, at the far end of that graph, above a date sometime in the future, let's say it's June 2012. By June 2012, I'd like my average number of in-house workshops run per quarter to be 15. So there'll be a dot at the number 15, to represent sort of 15 above that month, June 2012, in the graph. Now, yes, it does mean there's a lot of white space between the current value of performance, which, where are we now? We're in the quarter of June 2011. So there's still going to be, you know, another 4 quarters before I try and achieve that. That doesn't matter. That white space is not wasted space. That white space is information. It's telling you how much time you've got left to lift your average level of performance to that targeted line. So I have my time series of the measure, which is the number of in-house workshops I'd run each quarter. I also have a mean line that tells me, on average, how have I been going with that over time. And I'm comparing that mean line with the target. So if the average is around about 8 now, and I'm trying to get to 15 by June 2012, I've got some serious work to do, because that's nearly doubling the rate at which I'm running in-house workshops. But it's information, isn't it? I mean, it's telling me, in all honesty, exactly where I'm sitting now, how far away I am from where I want to be, and how much time I've got to close that gap. So that is my tip for how to put a target on a graph so that you get a lot of valuable information at a glance to either fill you with panic that you're not going to achieve your target on time, which is not a bad thing, because it will tell you where your priorities are and you know what you've got to focus more on to get happening. But it also tells you when you've achieved a target early and when what you're currently doing is on track to hit that target, so you don't have to panic. Very, very practical way of showing targets and graphs. Well, that does bring us to the end of episode 16, and thanks again for joining me. You can download these podcasts. You can also read the feature articles at measureupblog.com, and you can subscribe to this podcast at iTunes. You just have to type in the search box, Measure Up, and you will find it quite easily. Now remember, please, please, please send me feedback. I feel like I'm sometimes talking into the ether and I don't know who's listening or how many of you are listening, but I love to get feedback. So tell me, are you listening? Are you getting anything valuable out of these podcasts? Would you like me to change them in some way? Just offer that kind of feedback, and you can do it by emailing measureup@stacybarr.com. That's measureup@stacybarr.com. Until next time, this is Stacey Barr, the Performance Measure Specialist, signing off. Keep measuring what matters and engaging everyone you can to do the same.